Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Here we are, Bush and Louise, ready for another episode of the A to Z of the 90s. We're on P now. It's an unbelievable feat so far. I mean, there's been times in this journey, Louise, where you must have thought the same as me. Are we going to be able to get there? Well, this is a big commitment. But we're here and we're there and we're on the home straight, I think.
Oh my God, I feel like we're on the back end. Does that make sense? I feel like we're on the back end, the arse end of things now. Bushy, hi!
How's it going? Good to see you. You all right?
Bush, I missed you. How was your holiday?
It was good. We went to Southwold. You ever been to Southwold before? And I don't know if you had the situation with your other half where you go on like a weekend somewhere, you think, oh my God, this is lovely. We'd love to live here. This would be amazing. And then you go and look in the local estate agents, you think, oh my God, how expensive is everything? We'd never live here in a million years.
Really? Was it really spenny, was it?
It really spenny, to the point where we saw a famous person when we were walking around. We were having our breakfast next to Rick Wakeman from Yes.
Loner of a Lonely Heart. That one. I love that song.
Normally dressed as a wizard, but he was in like blue tracky bottoms and a blue tracky top. So he looked like a G4S security guy having his lunch break.
He's a cool guy, isn't he?
He's very cool, very, very cool guy, and was lovely to our little daughter, Stella, who was being a massive pain in the backside to everyone in there by kicking off and throwing food around. So he gave her a few smiles. So he's a nice guy. But yeah, Southwold was nice. What have you been up to, more importantly, Lomo?
No, I think what's even more importantly than what I've been up to is I want to ask you for a high point and a low point of the holiday, please.
High point of the holiday, we had really good fish and chips. There was some really, really good seaside fish and chips. And I stuck with my thing that I'm doing at the moment of having pie. I don't know what's happened, but something along the line means I don't do fish and chips anymore. I do chicken and mushroom pie, chips and mushy peas. What's your order from the chippy?
Cotton chips with like an exorbitant amount. Is that a word? Exorbitant. I don't know. I made it up.
Exorbitant amount of vinegar.
Shitloads. Because even when they go, I go, put vinegar on. And they go, yes, it's enough. And I go, no more. And they go, oh, okay. And then they put loads on just to kind of go, okay, we'll just, you know, we'll humour her. And they're like, no more. They're like, what do you mean?
I just say, I'll do it myself, thanks. And they're absolutely gone for it. To the point where they start talking. That's, if you hear them nudge each other and go, is he still putting vinegar on there? You know you've hit it. You know you hit it right. So that was the high point. Lovely.
You're such a man of the people, Bush. You're such a man of the people. Fish and chips in your high point.
I go to like cafes and that and have, you know, just try and, you know, listen to builders and see how they're feeling about the status of things. Brilliant. And that kind of thing. And then low point was, I don't want to like dig into Stella too much, but she's teething at the moment, our 8-month-old. So she's just a nutcase all weekend. Just absolutely crazy. I mean, you think about it, right? Imagine if your teeth, you were going into work and your teeth were coming through your gums. You'd be in a bad mood as well, wouldn't you?
Well, it's like, you know yourself when you've got your wisdom teeth coming up and like they're hell and we're allowed to take all the Nurofen Plus in the world and she's not able to take anything and she's got, you know, she's getting a full set.
I can't tell anyone, can't talk to anyone about it. So that's why she was rolling around and kicking off at like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, that kind of thing. I'm just saying, I don't think I've had my wisdom teeth. Will I have had my wisdom teeth coming through so far?
So I think you would, because I've had two of them out now. I had the two top ones out and then the two bottom. This is very boring. I'm so sorry, listener.
No, this is good. This is it's an insight into your medical history.
Yeah, top teeth out, and I, you know, was able to just take some time off uni and just eat, you know, liquid food for a week, which I thoroughly enjoyed. Also enjoyed the really strong painkillers I was given. Bottom ones haven't been taken out, and apparently one of them's quite near a nerve, and so could potentially damage the nerve if I got it taken out, and half my face might fall. So I'm gonna leave the lower teeth in. I'm just gonna go with the pain.
I never know what it is like with like the whole, what the deal is with wisdom teeth. Do you know when they're supposed to be in by? You know when kids are supposed to have had their teeth in by, but wisdom teeth, it's just like they're lurking, getting ready to spring out on you. Right, one, two, three, go.
Let's see your teeth, Bush, because I have very big teeth. You've got big teeth too. I feel like my teeth are maybe too big for my mouth.
So look, they are quite big, aren't they, your teeth? Like, they're nice teeth.
Look at this, Bush. I have to push my lip up in order to even see any gum.
I'll tell you what, listeners, she's got the biggest teeth I've ever seen in my life. It's like when someone's checking a horse's mouth.
That's exactly what
that's what it's like. Put your hand in there, she'll take sugar off it. Quite a rough tongue, though, Louise. She's got a really rough tongue. Always sanitise after you fed her as well. Always sanitise. I've got really like sharp incisors.
You do. I feel like you could open anything with those teeth.
I could.
They're like little fangs, Bush.
Let's have a look at your incisors. See, yours are like normal. Mine are weird. I've got like vampire teeth going on there.
Oh my God.
If you've got unusual teeth, do get in touch with us. We'd love to. Just a little survey just to see what the state of play is with everyone else, actually. You can get in touch on Twitter at Bush on the Radio. And what is the podcast Instagram account, Louise?
A to Z of the 90s podcast. I'd also love to know if any of you out there have had your wisdom teeth quite late in life. Leanne in touch so we can scare Bush to let him know that it could still all be about to happen.
Use the hashtag wisdom teeth. Well, without further ado, we're going great guns on this. Let's get stuck into Peas in the A to Z of the 1990s. Right then, Lomo, do you want to kick us off with one?
I do. I also want to apologise to everyone who listens to this podcast for last week because, Bush, we sounded so tired on last week.
We did, didn't we? I'm glad the video never gets used because I look at the moment. We're obviously doing this from home at the moment, but I'm sat on the floor in my middle daughter Thea's bedroom, surrounded by toys because we haven't tidied anything up yet. I look better than I did last week. But,
I was going to say last week was just a low point. I think so middle of the alphabet last week, and we hit a low point. I even had a few emails asking, listen to the pod, what's going on with you and
what's
Bush?
Are you
okay?
I was strangely off microphone as well, slightly distant, but that was just a technical issue. So,
was it, or were you just a bit distant from me last week, Bush?
I didn't know what was going on, but I feel like we're back on it. What are you drinking there, Louise? What have you got going on?
I'm drinking the coffee.
Got a coffee going on. Get the coffee. Give me a coffee. Right, then let's do this then. Okay. Let's do this. Peas in the 1990s, Louise. What do you want to talk about?
I want to start off by something that is very, very nostalgic for me. Well, obviously, it's a nostalgic podcast. Anyway, it was something I had in school. Always felt this really strong affiliation to my wristwatches when I was a kid. And maybe it's because you don't have that many items that you own when you're young, like personal items. And I remember having this watch, okay? And it was called a Pops watch. I don't know if you remember this, Bush. So it was a piece of material.
Pops watch.
Yes, it was by Swatch, and it was called a Pops watch. And it was a bit of material. A wristwatch, and you'd have a bit of material around your wrist, and then you would have a little circle, and then the face of the watch would pop in and out. Do you remember this?
Just define popping in and out, though, because I'm
like
not aware of this.
You would literally be able to take the face of the watch out of the wrist watch itself and walk around with this little circle of your face of your watch.
Like carry it around like a wristwatch from like Phileas Fogg or something.
Exactly. Except it didn't have a nice gold chain. But yes, exactly. It was independent from the wrist material.
Right.
And it, sorry, from the strap, I should say. That was the word I was looking for. It was independent from the strap. And then you just pop it back in and then you'd have it back on your watch and then you'd pop it out. It was actually very good. It was like the 90s version of a fidget spinner, because I would just spend days click, 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 in, out, in, out, in, out, in class and whatever. But I was obsessed. Mine was blue and white. I could literally draw you a picture of it now. It was blue and white strap and it was a blue and white face. And I would spend hours popping it in and out of the Pops watch.
But do you know, the weird thing is with like inventions for kids, that they do make a lot of stuff that kids like, but there's no need for that. Why would a kid need to take the watch piece out? This I think was probably more towards the tail end of the 80s, but I had a radio watch. So it was like a radio on your wrist, but you had to plug headphones in, big sponge orange headphones that then went on a wire to your head. But like, why is a kid who's like 8 or 9 need to listen to the football scores or the financial news walking around, and then it's attached to his wrist? Very, very strange. No,
can you tell
me
this though? Did you listen to the radio on your watch though? Did you actually plug them in?
I did occasionally, but then I ended up trading it with a lad from our estate. I swapped watches with him, and he had one of them Casio ones with loads of keys on it. You know, like needless. Again, another needless thing for a child. Mm. Why does a kid need to know what time it is in Addis Ababa? Do you mean there's no need for that?
But can I tell you something, Bush? Every single girl in my class had one of them, one of these Pops watches. I'd say they absolutely earned a mint. I think I've said this before in one of the podcasts. If you can catch a fad that kids get into, surely you're just made for generations after that, because kids pester the... I mean, you have kids, I don't, Bush. But surely they just pester the shit out of you until you buy for them.
Yeah, there is. And the adverts now, because they get bored of CBeebies. Yeah. They've done CBeebies now. So we have to go on to stuff like milkshake. And I don't know, I wasn't aware of it before. But I mean, obviously, I've sat through, you know, commercial telly when I was a kid. But they just hammer you with adverts non-stop for stuff, like non-stop. And the price of toys these days, I don't want to sound like an old man, but the price of toys is ridiculous, Louise.
Come here, what the hell is milkshake?
Milkshake is a kids' TV channel.
Really?
It sounds quite bad. I don't normally mention this downstairs, right? But the lady who presents it is quite fit.
Oh, nice.
So,
okay. So
there's something in it for me. There's something in it for the kids.
Yeah. I would imagine that was planned, to be honest. I'd imagine that was all pre-planned by TV execs. Get the dads in. Get the kids in. We're made.
I feel like CBeebies, I don't want to get into it, but CBeebies is up in its game in that department as well. And you know, fair play to it. Kudos to it for that. It's
so
a deal,
more hot
isn't
it? TV presenters, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Right.
That's what I'm calling for on today's podcast. More hot TV presenters on children's
on
TV.
Yeah, actually, do you know what? If I did have a kid and there was a really hot dude on there, I would absolutely be like, why don't we watch this, little kid?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'd be like, turn it
record
on. It. Record it. Watch you when they're in bed.
And also, sorry, just talking about fancying, literally just before we started this podcast, I had a tweet from someone, I can't remember the name of it, who it was now, but still having a go about Natalie Portman. Can we put the whole Leon Natalie Portman thing to bed from when was this? A couple of weeks ago, I think?
Yeah, she was in Anne,
So,
we're having a go in what way? Like giving you grief because you fancied her, or?
No, you ended the podcast by saying, so you fancied a 12-year-old, which I thought was a bad end to the podcast. So as we head towards, you know, we're a third of the way into this one, just have a little think about how you wrap things up, because you're leaving people with that. Do you know what I mean? If we go out for a nice meal and then and at the very end when you're getting the bill, I tip coffee on your lap, when you leave you think about the coffee, not the nice meal. Do you know what I mean? That's how it works.
Can I just say, you've just brought up the fact that you fancy kids TV presenters. You lead me to, so basically you line them up and I hit them out of the park.
Okay? If I start lining them up, don't knock them down the fairway or whatever the phrase is. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I'll keep it in mind.
Now, I'm not sure if this is an exclusively 90s thing. It might have started in the tail end of the 80s, but are you aware of the children's TV character staying on kids' TV called Pob? Do they have Pob in Ireland?
No, I don't remember.
This is going to be quite hard to explain. Pob was a hand puppet with a little wooden face and a long pokey nose, a bit like Pinocchio with little... You know that creepy thing when puppets have got little weird hands on wires? Like they're going to take your eyes out. Anyway, there was a program called Pob. It was about him. And at the end, he then... we can only describe it as gobbing on the... He gobs on the camera. He used to blow on the screen, make it steam up and write his name in it.
That is so sinister.
Really weird. Used to give me nightmares and everything. Used to really freak me out.
But
it was like gob. It wasn't heavy breathing. He just gobbed like a... Is it a llama that does spitting?
But hang on a second. So this is a puppet, right?
Yeah, someone's got his hand up it.
And so whose breath Is it the puppets or the puppet master, we'll call them?
Really good point. Really good point. I've never really worked that one out because it's steaming up the lens. He's getting gob on the lens, but he hasn't got spill.
This sounds like a science-y type situation. Like, where is this condensation coming from, Bush?
Well,
that's
very,
the real question.
Strange. Let me show you a picture of Pod, because the full horror will be revealed when you see his little weird face. There he is. Can you see it on the screen there?
Oh, my God, Bush, I recognise him. Also, can we talk about the mouth for 1 second?
Yeah, the mouth's a bit weird. It looks like a sex doll.
It looks like a sex doll.
Doesn't it?
Who is inventing a child's TV puppet like that would literally a blow-up doll mouth that looks like things should be happening?
It's gross, isn't it? It is gross. The more you look into Pob, the worse it gets. And then the weirdest thing with Pob, I remember this to this day. I was sitting in a dentist waiting room about to have a checkup, and there was someone on the radio doing the news, and they got their words mixed up. They got the letters the wrong way around, and they said that 5 men in Ireland had been arrested for pub bumming, and then they went, no, pub bombing, and it stayed with me. I don't know why it stayed with me to this day. What an awful scenario that is. In the 80s and the 1990s, P is for pub.
Bush, I got one for you, right?
Go on.
Oh, this brought back some memories, right? Okay. Do you remember a kids' TV show called Pugwall?
No. No, oh, you didn't mean God. Captain Pugwash. It's different to Captain Pugwash.
It's different. Pugwall, right, was an Australian TV show, okay? And it was around the character Peter Unwin George, which obviously stands for Pug, and his surname was Wall, Pugwall. And he and his friends formed a band, and the whole series was about them trying to get a record deal. Okay.
Wow,
and
they I've never heard of this.
Oh my God, Bush. And they had this band. They had this band name called the Orange Organics. And like, right. When I tell you that this brought back so many memories, like, I can't even imagine. Now, I know we're not really meant to like play any audio on this, okay? But like, I feel like I need to play something for 1 sec. Do you think we'll get away with it?
Oh, we can do it. I'm sure we can.
Okay, I just need to play the very beginning of this because I know it's going to bring back memories. Hang on, Bush.
What could possibly go wrong?
I know. Well, we could be like sued for $10 billion.
Imagine that.
Even.
What a way to go. What a way to go out. Pugwall. The big Pugwall case of 2022.
So okay. That, when I heard that last night, I just
getting into
just,
it. It's getting
I
into
know,
it.
Right? And when yeah. I heard that, it was just like I was literally transported back to watching TV in the 90s. Pugwall, unbelievable. Miss it. Wish I knew where they were today. Would definitely want a reunion of that right now.
Well, you say reunion. I've just been looking at a photo of them while you've been talking. And, you know, you get these things. They're so fresh-faced and they're kind of cool. And they've got that Australian. They probably, you know, have had a swim in the morning and then gone to school, had another swim, then some shrimp on the beach at the end. And they always look so fresh-faced and amazing. I just hope, and this is the big risk of Googling people and having a look at them now, I hope they haven't got, you know, look a bit haggard, because that always slightly sucks the joy of life out of you a bit, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean?
It really does. It makes us look at those things differently. And actually, my partner, when I was playing this to him last night, he remembered the song and he was just like, God, there was a hot girl in that. I was like, really? Jenny, the main singer? He's like, yes, Jenny. So I think all the lads out there fancy Jenny from the band.
What, was she 12? Was she 12? Do you want to have a go at your partner?
Yeah, but he was 2, so it's okay.
That's fair enough. In the 80s and the 1990s, P is for Pugwall. I don't know what it is. If you are aware of this programme, how do you get in touch with us on Instagram, Louise?
80s and the 90s podcast on Insta.
Okay, another one for you here. In the 80s and the 90s, P is also for Pez. Do you remember Pez sweets?
Tell me more.
Weird little... It looked like a bit of ammunition that you would get in like a clip. And what would happen is you'd have like a plastic dragon's head on the top or something. Mm-hmm. And every time you click the top of the dragon, yes, his mouth would open and a little sweet would pop out. Basically, it'd be a sweet that you would get on a French exchange. Mm-hmm. Were you aware of Pez?
Absolutely. And I think, again, we go back to this thing, like any sort of thing that's like a trendy gadget, kids are all over. And I definitely remember wanting them in the local shop. Oh, corner shops. God, I loved my corner shop. Do you remember you'd go in and you'd get like so many penny sweets? So we had this Irish pound coin, Bush, back in the day. It's gone now because obviously the Irish pound is gone. And you'd throw an Irish pound. It was really big, actually. Nothing like the pound coin now, the English pound coin. It was really big and you'd throw that down and you would get like such a massive bag of penny sweets that would do you for about a week.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yes.
I miss
that. I love the excitement. I miss the excitement of going into like shops. You know, like, obviously I'm a board game geek. That's the only thing now shop-wise where I think, oh yeah, I love going in there. And you, like a kid in a sweet shop. But aside from that, obviously shopping is quite boring now, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? I mean, even when I go into a supermarket, I still get that smell when you go into a supermarket that reminds me of maybe when I was with my mum, hanging around with my mum and dad when we were kids, the chance that you might get a Transformer toy if you were in there. I still get that kind of feeling when I go into a supermarket to this day. Shopping precincts. I love shopping precincts. I love cafes. Indoor markets with cafes in them. Well, How good are they?
You were reared by them. We've talked about this before, Bush. Like, there was no nature walks in the Bushenfeld household.
No.
It was like, get yourself up the high street.
Exactly. Get yourself to your local, you know, covered market. Get yourself ham, egg and chips and a cup of tea.
And it did you... I mean, you've turned out absolutely fine, Bush.
No problem with me. Yeah, I mean, I've had a few bumps in the road with the whole Natalie Portman thing, but overall, no problems with me. In the 80s out of the 1990s, P is for inexplicable Pez dispensers from abroad.
I'm going to bring up something that... It's going to rattle your cage, Bush.
Good. I'm up for my cage being rattled today.
Yeah.
Let's have it.
Okay. So for those of you who don't know, Bush and I did a previous podcast. I wasn't really on it that much. I was only in the last season, but Bush is a board game geek.
And very so cool. He did I'm very, very cool.
He did a board game podcast. I know it existed. And I came on the last season and I brought up the fact that I used to play Pogs.
Oh, no, this is yes,
and
Pogs.
Bush basically thought that maybe it was some sort of acid dream that I'd had. And
sure.
I invented
Can I just interrupt you here?
Go on.
So I've written it down on my notes here because a couple of people have tweeted it, right?
Yeah.
And I've just again written Pogs and they put in brackets, fuck knows. Because I don't understand.
Like, I don't get what you don't get. I don't
what
get.
What did you do?
I don't
what did
get
you do?
What you
I understand
don't
what
get.
They are. Oh, well, I don't get what you don't get, what I don't get.
Okay, so I'm going to read, this is the official like line about how Pogs are played.
Right.
Each player keeps any face-up caps and is to restack the face-down caps, repeating the process until none land face-down, at which point the player who collected the most caps wins the game of Pogs.
It's not a game. That is not a game. That is something you play in prison. Do you know what I mean? That's what Terry Waite's playing, you know, when he's chained to the radiator in Beirut. That ain't a modern game.
Pogs was played in every single 90s schoolyard. I'm telling you, Bush, I can't believe this escaped you.
Are they worth any money? Like, have you ever had a look on eBay to see if you can, you know, imagine you still had your Pogs. Do you think you'd sell them for a load of cash or not?
Yeah, we talk about that a lot, don't we? Like, if we just kept that stuff. There was another thing. Actually, this is going to lead me nicely into. I don't know if we can talk about Pogs anymore because Bush literally doesn't know what I'm talking about. So
weird.
I'm going to go straight into something else that apparently is worth a lot of money if you kept it from back in the day. And that is Polly Pockets. Do you know what Polly Pockets are?
Now, I think they might still be going because I think Thea was rattling me to buy something like that for her recently when we were at a toy shop. Is it a load of tiny little... It's like a handbag house with tiny little creatures in it or something?
Essentially, it is. It's basically... Well, back in the day when I had them, I used to get them from Santa. Polly Pockets were plastic cases and you opened it and it formed a dollhouse. And then it had these tiny little figurines inside, which were about an inch tall. And the dolls folded in the middle...
I remember that.
When the case closed. Now, I was going to ask you this. I loved them back in the day. So basically, the dude who invented them because he thought like his wife's makeup compact case was quite cool. And he started putting dolls on that.
Oh.
And that's how he invented them. It is cool.
Like that.
So anyway, I used to get them all the time as a kid. And I thought, Jesus, you wouldn't get away with that in 2022 because it's all such a choking hazard now. But obviously, they're still around, right?
But this is the thing. Obviously, I've got an 8-month-old and a 4-year-old, and the 4-year-old is bang into Polly Pockets and anything miniature. I think it's just a kid thing, and you like miniature, tiny little stuff. And I've bought a few things for her where I've instantly, as soon as we got home, thought, oh my God, so stupid. Why have you bought that? Because that is going to go on the floor. Stella's going to try and eat it immediately. And there's quite a few things like that that are like a nightmare choking thing. You're absolutely right.
And I think, though, when you're a kid, everything seems so big. So to have something so tiny, it feels like it's on your level. Do you know what I mean?
I know, but I love, don't you love miniaturised stuff? I know it's a choking hazard and I know there's dangers involved with it, but I love miniaturised little mini things. It's very, very cool.
There's a thing on Instagram, Bush, where like people have like tiny miniature kitchens and they cook tiny little miniature food. It's so interesting. Actually, on that, what's your favourite Instagram account?
So there's a guy who's got an Instagram account called Sheffield Miniatures. And it's absolutely brilliant. And he basically makes like miniature versions of day-to-day things. So if you want the front of your house done, he'll do it for you bespoke. And I think this my love of this comes from modelling back in the day. You know, like my uncle Neil in Liverpool used to have like a train set upstairs in the loft, but like a huge, is it a diorama? Is that what you call it? Like a massive, you know, 7 or 8 foot like mini village that he'd built himself and individually crafted all these things. But this guy does Sheffield Miniatures. Just show you the photo here if it loads up. You can do the front of your house, you can do like your local park, but all in tiny miniatures. Amazing.
But what's that made of, Bush?
He makes it out of like wood and paints it and bits of plastic and stuff like that as well. Really good. So
it's a real,
that's what I look at.
It's a real leveling up from like dolls' houses, isn't it? Because I guess that was the original miniatures back in the day, because they were around in Victorian times and stuff, where people would buy these stunning dolls' houses and do them up, and each room would be so intricate. Can you imagine doing that now? Like, what a meditative, cool thing to do.
Is.
I mean, do we have the time? No. But I think that would be such a chill out thing to do.
It's a good thing to do, and I think it is good for your brain to do that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, we've got a doll's house in Thea's room that I bought on Facebook Marketplace, and it's kind of sad actually. If you go on a Facebook Marketplace, there are loads of like doll's houses that have been made by granddads and stuff for grandkids. And then they've obviously, you get to a certain age, and you know, when the kid's like 10 or 11, they don't want to play with a doll's house anymore. So it kind of sadly goes up on Facebook Marketplace. But some old guy, loving old chap, has spent ages putting these things together. So,
and
do you know what I mean? It's a bit of a shame.
Is that who you bought it off?
Yeah, I bought it. Well, actually, I bought it off this kind of like young mum who I think it'd been put together by her dad for her kids, and the kids have grown out of it. I mean, the good thing is Thea's playing with it now, so that's good.
I love that, though. Exactly. I love that. Carrying it on. Okay, brilliant. Love that. I kind of felt like that was going to get a bit depressing there for a second. I thought you were going to pick it up for an old man and he had one single tear, like, you know, falling down his face as he sold it to you. And I was like, this is grim. But if it's from a young mom and she's all good, then great.
You mean you thought some kind of, sobbing, like a really bad Werther's Original advert with him against the window as it's raining, as I pull away in the car.
Yeah.
What's your favourite Instagram thing then, Louise, if we're on the subject? What do you look at on Instagram? Or do we want to know?
My favourite Instagram account is... Now, this was before... I was following this before the war, okay? So don't give me any grief.
And it's a great start.
And it's called Look at This Russian. And it's basically like the craziest stuff that happens in Russia, okay?
Right.
So it's like...
Like invading and that and doing awful stuff.
No, I promise, nothing like that. And I've been following it for years. It'll be like this, like, you know, Russian guy who's like drinking a bottle of vodka, but he's like riding on the back of a brown bear. Like, it's just the craziest stuff. Or like, I don't know, you just have to follow it. Look at this Russian. It is by far the most entertaining Instagram I've ever seen. I was following it pre-war, probably shouldn't be following it anymore, but I am, because the levels of entertainment are off the scale.
Well, if you want to follow a Russian post-war, it's going back the other way over the Ukrainian border, which is great to see. But yeah, check it out. Follow, what's it called? Follow This Russian? Look at This Russian and Sheffield Miniatures on Instagram. Let us know what you think. And if there's an Instagram account that you're obsessed with, of course, in addition to our own on this podcast, tell us about it. You can tweet me as well, at Bush on the radio. Right, let's have another P. This time, a suggestion from... one of my colleagues at Absolute Radio, the lovely Matthew Dyson from the Dave Berry Breakfast Show.
Hi, Bush. Hi, Louise. Thank you for having me on your brilliant podcast. P is for pump when it came to me in the early 90s. I'm not talking about farting or anything else. I'm talking Reebok pump trainers. I became obsessed with them. I think they came out possibly edge of the 89s, but definitely big in the early 90s. I was well into 90s high top basketball trainers at the time that had some of those Cons, you know, those sort of Converse spin-off called just Cons with massive tongues, huge, ridiculous tongues. And then you had Knicks, as you discussed on the show not long ago, sort of looked like a Nike rip-off that looked a bit like British Knights, which were another big basketball trainer at the time, but looked like a sort of Jonathan James own brand rip-off. But the Reebok pumps were the real deal. Now, they were very, very expensive, but I used the money from my paper round to purchase a pair, because at the time in the early 90s, as still a teenager, I felt like brands would really change my life. The power of a brand, the sparkly brand Reebok pump, would make my life significantly better, as opposed to just being a sort of inflatable tongue, which is what it was. You pumped the sort of basketball circle thing on the top of the tongue and it inflated the main bit of the tongue, making them fit a bit better, but providing very little value elsewhere. They cost me £90 to find that out.
There you go, Matthew Dyson from the Daveberry Breakfast Show on Absolute Radio. Incredible trainer knowledge from Matt there.
Good God.
In that particular piece. Do you know what I mean? Very, very. He's a very knowledgeable man, but I wasn't cool enough to have them. Did you have those with the little pumps on the front? I remember seeing it on the telly.
I don't even know what he's talking about, but I am definitely going to go have a look now. He's really sold them to me. I feel like I would want a pair now.
But again, it goes back to the thing we were talking about earlier on, where they're creating stuff for kids, but you don't really need it. Like, why do you need to squeeze a pretend basketball on the front of your trainers and pump the insides of your shoes up? No one needs that in their life. But it was a thing. A lot of people have been suggesting, we appreciate all your input on this podcast every week. A lot of it is a collaboration with you guys, and like I say, hugely appreciate it. A lot of people saying Paul McKenna. Was Paul McKenna big over in Ireland in the 90s, hypnotist?
Yeah, I was going to say, is he the one who hypnotised you, Bush, to give up smoking?
No, it wasn't. I wish it was. That was just some woman in Bristol. But he's been a guest on my radio show a couple of times. He's a really, really nice guy, but he's got a voice that's just like chocolate.
Yeah.
Hello, my name's Paul McKenna. What I'm going to do, and the thing is, I'm glad you said that because it's really, really important. But when I was a kid, I remember, like early teens, he had a program on telly where the early days of hypnosis, it was tiny little bit of like medical stuff, but mainly it was just getting people to walk around dressed like chickens or pretending to be like a pig, or, you know, if you went to like a holiday camp, that's what hypnosis was like, making people look like an idiot. And now it's a lot more kind of like good use to it. But Paul McKenna had a brilliant show on telly when I was in my teens about, again, making fools out of people through hypnotism. Would you ever get hypnotized for anything?
Bush, this is interesting you've saying this, because I've just had a flashback, genuine in real time flashback. I think I saw Paul McKenna live in Dublin. He does live shows, doesn't he?
I have a feeling
I saw him live, and he had like a sweeping brush up on the stage and he hypnotised a guy to like make love to the sweeping brush.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He used to be medical. He's a medically trained, like, top end hypnotist. Like, I did one of his books, How to Change Your Life in 7 Days, where you read along the book and do the audio book in the evening, which is like self-hypnosis, and it was brilliant. It got me back to going to sleep properly. But then obviously, in his day job, he can also do the thing where, imagine that power, you know, you can hypnotise someone and make them walk around like a chicken.
I know.
Imagine having that power at your fingertips.
But it's funny, lots of people don't believe in the whole hypnotism thing, and I'm going to say this, Bush, I have mentioned your name to all of those people and I've said, well, I've got a friend, his name is Bush, he used to smoke like a trooper, and hypnotism made him give smoking up. Now, I don't know if that means you're just mentally weak, Bush, or whether it's just very real.
No, I think you need to be, because if you go and watch hypnotism on stage, even when I've seen Darren Brown do it, they'll get like 25 people up. He'll do like something to them, and then he'll get rid of like 15. So you've obviously, I think I've got, like, you know, you have to be quite susceptible. I think I am quite susceptible in a kind of care in the community way. Do you know what I mean?
You're so malleable, Bush. You're so, oh my God, I just don't want people taking advantage of you because of this, Bushy. I just don't. I can't deal with that.
I just went around to this person's house. I paid a bit of money. I did 3 sessions. I was cured of smoking, but my bum hurt every time. I don't know what it was. Maybe it's part of the hypnotism.
And there are some questionable pictures online if you ever Google Bush and hypnotism now.
Awful.
Oh, Bush. Okay, look, I need to have a little bit of a mention for a fashion faux pas in the 90s, please.
Go on.
Is for pedal pushers. Absolutely horrific. Skin-tight pedal pushers. Do you know what they are, Bush? You look confused.
No, not really.
Okay, so a pedal pusher is essentially a 3/4 length trouser. So right. people were wearing trousers and jeans, three quarter lengths, and then they would put a pair of ballet pumps with them. I'm having a physical reaction to even telling you about this. It's so disgusting.
What a weird outfit that is.
I know, but it wasn't back in the 90s. People were all about wearing pedal pushers, three quarter length trousers, always skin tight, bit onto you, and then like a flat shoe, like a flat pump or a heel, which made it, you know, in fairness, look a bit better. But the flat black ballet pump with it, can't deal. I just can't deal with a bushy. Can't.
That for me, as you're describing that outfit, I'm hearing someone screaming at their kids with one of those triple buggies where you can put loads of kids on it.
Bush, that is exactly the correct...
Nathan! Nathan! Leave him, Nathan! Get down, Nathan! Nathan!
That is definitely the correct mental image to have.
It's naughty kid names like Kai. Kai is probably the most naughty kid name.
Is it? Yeah.
Kai! Nathan! Kai! Other ones to chuck in here, beginning with P from the 90s, that people have suggested. Papa Nicole, the adverts.
Oh, I loved them. What was it for? Again, the Citroen, was it?
Steve suggested this. I kind of fancied Nicole, but who didn't fancy Nicole?
I kind of fancied Papa.
I thought you might do. A lot of suggestions for Parker pens.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
you to Dave for that one as well. You know, big time for the fountain pen in the 90s, wasn't it? Brand new term at school, and then thinking I'm going to just do calligraphy from now on, and then getting it all over your hands and inside your bag because it inevitably shits itself.
Bruce, do you remember learning how to write with a pen?
Not really. I remember having quite bad writing to the point where my teacher got my mum in about it, like... Is he all right? And then it just kind of sorted itself out. I did terrible joined up writing when I was a kid. Like,
are there...
Like, twins have got their own language. It was a bit like that.
So you called your mum in to see if there were problems at home.
Yeah.
Your writing was
They asked if there were problems at home in French. My French teacher asked me, are there any problems at home? And then also she was called in to look at my writing because it was that bad.
Good Lord, Bush.
And I've turned out all right, haven't I?
You have.
That's all right.
You have, Bush. Okay, yeah, I was going to say the Parker pen as well. And just like having a little tin full of cartridges of ink, because we had to learn how to write with a cartridge pen. I don't really know why. And I absolutely loved that. Then obviously we moved on to Bics and it was like, why were we learning on those cartridge pens? It makes no sense.
Did you have those red Parker, you know, like a plastic red pen with a blue nib that was like the school standard? Did you have one of those back in the day?
No, I had those clicky pens. You know, the blue pen with the four different nibs.
Oh yeah,
so you could press them down. Absolutely loved them. Bushy, a few honourable mentions as we come towards the end of the episode. Pamela Anderson, maybe one of the hottest women ever, well, definitely of the 90s. And padlock diaries. Bloody loved a padlock diary back in the day. Just found mine recently. Very embarrassing, but yeah, absolutely loved a padlock diary. Dear log.
Right, that is it. We have run out of time. Thank you so, so much for all your brilliant suggestions this week. It's been so many amazing things submitted to the podcast that we haven't had a chance to go through all of them. So hugely appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for spreading the word. Tell all your friends about us. A little bit like that famous line from Batman. And then you can get in touch with me on Twitter if you've got any suggestions for next week. And I've always got to say this through in my head. QSTUPPW. Oh my God, what is it? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q. Q, it's Q. Next week is Q. What is the problem with me in the alphabet? For some reason, I've decided to pick a podcast where I can't do the alphabet properly. Next week is Q. Could be a tricky one. We need your help. You can tweet me at Bush on the radio. The producer of this podcast is the brilliant Ross Ramsey Golding. Thank you to Matt Dyson for a suggestion earlier on. And we will see you in the next one.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.